Okay, it's page 190 at the bottom, page Nun Beis on top. Last week we did not learn too much inside, because we were giving the concept of the four worlds, with the four letters of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, right? Yud, Chochma, Shining, and Atzilus, the Hey, Imbriya, Vav, and Yetzirah, and the last Hey, and Nasiya. And Alter Rebbe is explaining that Malachim, primarily, who work instinctively, they don't have intelligence to understand godliness. He says those malachim are in the world of Yetzirah. Okay? Neshamis, though, that have an understanding of godliness, and they have the ability to serve Hashem with their intellect, because Bria is the world of Bina, which is the world of intellect, so therefore the neshamis are in the higher world of Bria, versus the malachim, angels, that are in the world of Yetzirah. Okay? That's where we're up to now. So we're in the middle of the page. So he says, Achainu Dafke, this only refers to Nishamis Mamish Shem Bechinas Mechen, the God of Saints of Baruch Hu. He says like this, that Bria, the world of Bria, is the home of Tzadikim, and like we explained last week, Gan Eden is the world of Bria. Okay? There is two levels in God. This we didn't say last week. There is the higher Gan Eden and the lower Gan Eden. Okay? It says in many psukim, it alludes to the fact there's a higher Gan Eden and a lower Gan Eden. Gan Eden is, the higher Gan Eden is the world of Bria. The lower Gan Eden is the world of Yetzirah, which is the same level as the angels. Okay? Now, you have to understand, when you speak about the spiritual worlds, okay, it's not like there's a square mileage of the world, you know, it's not a planet, okay? It's a spiritual feeling of godliness. That's what spirituality means. And again, it's very difficult for us, and it says, in Chassidus, it's very difficult for us, as its expression goes, that Tzemach Tzadik uses the expression, lahafshit hadvarim migashmiyusam, to remove these spiritual concepts from the physical way we think. Okay? We said many times, Gan Eden is not 50 miles up, and hell is not 6 feet under. Okay? Gehenim is not 6 feet under, and Gan Eden is not, when you go to the moon, you don't pass Gan Eden on the way. I mean, you know what I mean? Spiritual worlds, again, we mentioned this, but it needs, until it works, you need to talk about this a lot. Spiritual worlds mean how much awareness of Hashem do you have. You could be in Atzilus down here. If down here you have a total awareness of God in a way that you don't feel anything but godliness, down here you are in the world of Atzilus. Or when you daven Shemone Esrei, okay, now not us, but when you daven Shemone Esrei, that is the world of Atzilus. When you say Shema, that's the world of Bria. When you say Psukah Dezimmer between Baruch Hashem and Yishtabach, that's the world of Yetzirah. And before Haidu is the world of Asiyah. In other words, there is a spiritual awareness of God. The Neshama is not a physical entity that you can say, okay, now it's in Hawaii, so it's basking in the sunlight, so it's basking in godliness, that the Neshama is in Gan Eden. The Neshama doesn't have a length and a width and a depth. Okay, it's a spiritual awareness. Okay, God forbid when somebody passes away and the neshama leaves the body, it doesn't make a hole in the ceiling when it goes up. You know what I mean? It's not something that you can look and see it leaving. It's a spiritual awareness that we use terms higher and lower because we have nothing else to use. Okay? Like we said, when you...
Higher and lower in spirit, it's higher and lower in spirituality.
Correct. Now, what does that mean, higher and lower in spirituality? It means a greater awareness of Hashem, is a higher level. A lower awareness of Hashem is a lower level. The Rambam defines, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam says, what does the Pasuk mean when the Pasuk says there are different levels of Malachim? Serafim emdim mi ma'alei. The Serafim are on top of the Ifanim. What does it mean? They're on the 10th step versus the 8th step? No. It means they have a greater awareness of Hashem. Okay, we mentioned this. I think it was last Wednesday night, or it was Thursday morning. But anyway, when you say somebody has a deep pit, okay, or the ocean is deep, you measure it with feet and yards and inches and miles, correct? When you say somebody has a deep head, what does that mean? Their head is 10 feet deep. As Alter Rebbe says, Kol HaShemei Yitzchakli. He says about this, whoever hears it will laugh, because you don't measure depth of head with inches and yards and feet. Okay? You measure depth of a head is how, it's a bad word to use, how deep somebody is able to understand something, how broader they can understand it, how in depth they can understand it. That's called a deeper head. You can have a person that doesn't have such a deep head, so they take everything at the superficial, at the face value. Or you say, somebody has a, you want to say they're generous, right? So you say they have a big heart. It doesn't mean their heart is big. They, God forbid, would die. Okay? What it means, it's an expression of being very generous. Very generous, but it's not the same language as when we measure a big room by feet and yards. It's a different measurement. The difference between Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya is a different awareness of Hashem. Okay? If you have an intellectual, and this is what Dalton Rebbe is explaining over here. If you have an intellectual awareness of God, okay? A person is blessed with a head, which they need to use. If a person has an intellectual awareness of God, which means they study about Hashem, they learn Chassidus, which deals with the understanding of Hashem, and they have an in-depth understanding of Hashem, which creates love and fear, which are not only natural love and fear, but intellectual love and fear. That level of serving Hashem is much greater than one that serves Hashem out of habit. Okay? If you just, you're roboted, because that's what your parents did and that's what you're taught to do. You're a robot. You get up in the morning, they say brachas, and you daven, and you put on tefillin, or whatever you do, and there's no understanding of godliness. There's no awakening of a love to do it. Okay, you're doing it as habit. Yes, you're serving Hashem. Yes, you're davening. Yes, you're putting on tefillin. Yes, yes, yes. But it's not something you worked on. When you work on it, it has much greater value than if you didn't work on it. It's naturally instinctive. And what Alter Rebbe is explaining over here, again, is neshamas that serve Hashem out of intellectual stimulation, they go to the world of Bria, because Bria means an intellectual awareness of Hashem. Yetzirah, the world of Yetzirah, what does that mean? It's speaking about a natural, instinctive, unworked on love of Hashem. Malachim don't have intellect. They don't have free choice. They don't have, you know, the choice to do, option to do good and bad. Whatever they do is instinctive. If what they do is instinctive, it's nowhere near the level of a Jew that serves Hashem intellectually. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain. How about those Jews that serve Hashem just naturally, instinctively? They don't awaken this love and the fear of Hashem. They also only go up to Yetzirah. Meaning, what type of awareness of Hashem do they have? An awareness of Hashem which is only natural, instinctive. You didn't work on it, you don't go to intellectual level. The Alter Rebbe is going to say, though, that this is still greater than the angels. Why? Because even when we work instinctively, we still had the choice to pick something else. We have free choice. Angels don't. And therefore, even a Jew that doesn't meditate every day to awaken this awareness of godliness in an openly felt way, is just naturally the way of serving Hashem, they still are greater than the angels. Why are they greater than the angels? Because the angels have no free choice. They don't have an evil inclination. They don't have a body. They don't have any ability to do evil. So when they do good, they do good. A person, even though they're not, again, awakening this tremendous feeling towards Hashem, but they still had the option to daven or not to daven, to do a mitzvah, to do a sin. So therefore, when they daven and they do a mitzvah, they raise to Yetzirah, but it's still greater than the angels.
So the neshama can only serve Hashem, so when she's in a body.
The neshama to serve Hashem in a proper way, yes. That's why dead people don't have mitzvahs. Do you know there's a din when you go to a cemetery? You know you're allowed to daven mincha or ma'ariv in a cemetery near graves. Do you know that if a man has tzitzis hanging out, he has to tuck him either inside or into his pants pocket, that the tzitzis shouldn't be hanging out. Why? That's the din shel Aruch. Because you don't wear tzitzis. And you probably don't wear tefillin in the cemetery either. The reason for that is, the Gemara says the expression, you're loyeg l'rosh. You're making fun of the dead. Because the pasuk says, b'meisim chavshi, dead people don't have mitzvahs. So if you go into the cemetery with your tzitzis flying out, yeah, you're basically laughing. It's just disrespectful, the Gemara says, to the dead people, because you're saying, you see, I could do mitzvahs and you can't. The whole purpose of the neshama coming into a body is to do mitzvahs. Neshama not in a body doesn't serve Hashem. One second. Now, Rebbe is explaining over here, though. So what does he get in Gan Eden and Bria? He gets the rays of the mitzvahs they did here. The mitzvahs they do here, that is the life, and how much sunshine do you get, so to speak? Depending on the mitzvahs that you did down here.
But the neshama in itself wants to, it desires Hashem. Wants to be close to Hashem, right?
Correct.
So what is,
but that's all instinctive. That's natural. Neshama itself, which is a part of Hashem,
wants to be with Hashem.
But did it work on it? No. If you don't work, no pain, no gain. That's the bottom line. The reason why a neshama comes into the body is because in the body we have the evil temptations, we have a yetzer hara, we have free choice, and therefore, down here when we do something, it's an accomplishment. The neshama not coming into a body doesn't have that accomplishment. It is what it is. It doesn't go anywhere. And that explains the paradox in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says at the end of the fifth parak, you live against your will and you die against your will. Which, Mamash, it's a paradox. If you're living against your will, that means you want to die. So why are you dying against your will? Okay? So what's the answer? Chassidus explains that before the neshama comes into the body, the neshama is basking in godliness. Now Hashem says to the neshama, okay, boy, chick, that's it. Fun's over. You're going down. Down, there's no basking in godliness. There's only problems and who knows what, right? So the neshama said, I don't want to go. Hashem said, I'm not asking you. You have a mission to accomplish. I want this mission. You have to be in the body. One second. Once the neshama is in the body, and the neshama sees what it's accomplishing, that only down here could it accomplish. Neshama says, I don't want to go. Here I'm accomplishing something. Up there I'm just in the retirement. What?
How does the neshama know not to come down, so to speak.
What do you mean, how does Neshama know?
Not to want to come down, though. How does it know that? How does it know about this world?
You ever hear the expression, if it's not broken, you don't fix it? The Neshama's in Gan Eden, in paradise, basking in godliness. Why should it want to leave? Huh? Only neshamas that are connected. They daven for you, you daven for them, whatever. Neshamas are, but again, up there, it doesn't mean they're a million miles up and, you know, and it has to take an express elevator down.
It means what? They know what's going on here?
When you speak about, you know what? Each, the Gemara says, Lots of love, every person is going to get burnt from the chuppah of his friend. Meaning, every neshama is its own space, okay? But it's not physical space. Every neshama has its spiritual awareness of godliness. What your neshama has, my neshama doesn't have, and hers doesn't, and his doesn't, and theirs doesn't. Every neshama has your own awareness of God, which in our language means each one has its own place. But it's not physical place. Like, how big is a neshama? It's not, you don't have different size neshamas, you know? 2x2 or 1x1. There's a different levels of neshamas, of spirituality.
Are there people or tzaddikim that are in this world that connect to their neshama before it came down here?
You mean in the previous Gilgal?
Well, not the same as that. I mean, the fact that they are so in touch with their neshama that they...
Tzaddikim are in touch with their neshama.
Mm-hmm.
Every person at any given time can be in touch with your neshama. When you do a mitzvah, okay, you are in touch at that moment with your neshama. When it says, Schar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. Okay? What does that mean? According to Chassidus, it means, simply, without Chassidus, it means, the reward of a mitzvah is you're going to do another mitzvah. So then you're going to do two for the price of one, so to speak. Chassidus explains, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. It's the connection that you just got with Hashem.
And the people that, like, I think you've said before, was that tzaddikim know, like, where their sparks are that they need to...
Correct. Come.
So...
Rebbe says that, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, is that like that they know when they're coming here, like...
What their purpose is.
Right, they know, yeah. Like, they should make a left turn versus the right turn, or like... They,
correct.
Spiritually, they understand that the right turn means something different.
In Zayir it says, there was a yunuka. It's a little kid, they say it was Rabbi Amnuna Sava, but there was a kid, a yunuka, that's what he's called. Yunuka is a young kid. Then this kid was something special, okay? He once went over to the guy, and he said, from the smell of your garments, I could tell you, you didn't reach my yet. He didn't, it wasn't deodorized clothes that he said, okay, you didn't reach my yet. He was able to look at the person to see what the person was, is. Not only, like by Yareba, not only is he in touch with his neshama, but because he's ahead, he's in touch with everybody's neshama. This way, Yareba could look at you and know everything about you, because he sees your neshama. He could look at you and see what your neshama is, where you're at, what you're doing, what you're missing, what you need, and so on.
But is the point, though, the more mitzvahs we do,
the more in touch we are with our neshama, mm-hmm. which, by the way, happens to be us. Who are we? Are we our body, which is a hunk of meat? I mean, if you think without the neshama, without the soul, the body is worthless. Okay, and not really worthless. I mean, the body's even higher than the neshama, but leave it at that. The neshama is the real us. When we are in touch, we said many times, and this brings out this point also clearer. The Mishnah says, Enoch ben Chayden ela Misha Isik Batera. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. There's no person who is free, only a person who keeps Torah mitzvahs. Okay? That seems to be, if you tell that to a secular person, they'll think you're a crazy lunatic. That's called freedom. You can't think what you want. You can't say what you want. You can't do what you want. But this religion controls you from A to Z. Hashem says what you're allowed to think, what you're not allowed to think. What you're allowed to speak, what you're not allowed to speak. What you're allowed to do. From the minute you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, got to read your tongue. Okay, this is what you got to do. You go to sleep at night, God's telling you how to go to sleep. In the middle of the sleep, God's telling you what to do. Okay? And the Mishnah says, there is no freedom. Ein loch ela. It says in aloch means that there is nothing but that. How can that be called freedom? Okay? So what's the explanation according to Chassidus? This is a very simple explanation. Freedom means when you control yourself. If something else, somebody else controls me, that's not freedom. Correct? I mean, that we can understand. Freedom means when I control myself. If something or somebody else controls me, that's not called freedom. Okay? You go home at night, and you go home, and you lock your door, you're not in jail. Believe it or not. Well, maybe. But you're not in jail. When somebody else locks you in the room, then you are in jail. Why? What's the difference? Because I locked it, I can unlock it. I'm in control of going in and out. So I have freedom. When somebody else locks me in a room, I can't go out when I want. That's a lack of freedom. That's called jail. Freedom means when I control... By the way, this is such fundamental Yiddishkeit. According to Chassidus, it's unbelievable. Freedom means I control myself. Okay? Now, which means like this. If somebody out there is going to influence me what to wear, you know something? That's not freedom. If the Roman, if the Italian or the French designers are going to make the clothing, and because of that, they decide what's in for the season, and I'm going to buy it, as much as we think I'm buying what I want, the truth is they are controlling what we wear. Okay? When you walk outside in the street, do you know that you can automatically not be the way you want to be? Because you're automatically limited by what people are going to look at you, think of you, talk about you, whatever it is. Those people, believe it or not, are controlling you. Even, which is, by the way, not freedom. A person's intellect controls them. Yeah? My intellect is not me. When you love a kid, it doesn't matter if they're smart, brilliant, genius, or utterly stupid. You don't love the kid for their intelligence. The intelligence is not the person. The person is not the intelligence. If my seichel dictates the way I live, it's not freedom. Because I am controlled, whoever the I is, by the way, I am controlled by my intellect, which is not me. It's still an external force controlling me. If I do something because that's what the guy next door does, or I have a car because that's what the guy next door has, everybody in the world is controlling me. There's only one thing that can control you, and that's yourself. Who is the you? Your neshama. Your neshama is an extension of God. Therefore, it automatically wants to do what Hashem wants to do. Right? It's an extension of Hashem. So when you do a mitzvah, the Mishnah says an unbelievable concept. The true freedom is when you control yourself. Who is the you? Yourself. The neshama controls you. That's freedom. Nothing else is freedom. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, because when you do a mitzvah, that is the reward that you are bound with yourself. The neshama is an extension of God. You are bound with Hashem, which is, the neshama is an extension of Hashem. In fact, that's why the Mishnah says that this world, doing Torah and Mitzvahs, is even greater than Gan Eden. Because Gan Eden is only a ray of the Shechina, and here when a Jew does a Mitzvah, they're bound to the essence of Hashem. And therefore it's greater. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is saying over here that when a person does things out of intellectually stimulated feelings of love and fear, then they reach a level of awareness and connection to Hashem in the world of Bria, which is the world of intellect. If you do it instinctively, because this is what we do, you know, then you only reach the world of Midas, of instinct, which is the world of Yetzirah. He says, even then, the neshamas are greater than the angels, because the angels don't have the free choice, and we have the free choice. And then the Alter Rebbe is going to go into now into a different concept completely. The Alter Rebbe is going to define, when he speaks about the worlds, and we have the 10 attributes in the worlds, the 10 spheres in each world. The Alter Rebbe says, that's not the only thing that exists in the worlds. It's a whole world. There's dwelling places, and there's existences. The 10 spheres is the godly revelation that exists in each world. And that's what the neshama gets when the neshama is in the world of Bria, or in the world of Atzilus, in the world of Yetzirah, wherever the neshama may be. What the neshama gets from godliness, that's called the spheres. But the neshama itself, like, lives in a certain world. The malachim live in a certain world. It's not only in the 10 spheres. The 10 spheres, by definition, means the godly revelation of that world. The godly revelation in Atzilus is greater than Bria. Bria is greater than Yetzirah. Yetzirah is greater than Asiya. But besides that, there's other compartments and chambers and everything else that exists in the world. And we'll leave it for next time.